1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Thank you all for being here today. Could somebody, yeah, there it goes. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Thank you all for being here today. I'm going to read you a couple of verses, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go back and read some other verses. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I want to talk to you this morning about ye are the temple of God. That's my subject and my title. You can hold your place there and turn on over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, and I'll read you a verse there. It says basically the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them. He's talking to Christians here. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. All that's on the subject of ye are the temple of God. We'll pray, and then we'll go back and we'll read some other verses in chapter number 3. So let us pray. Father, we come to thy throne of grace. We thank you, God, for your blessings and your goodness and kindness, God, toward us. Thank you, God, for being merciful and long-suffering and gracious to us, God. Thank you, God, for giving us a Bible. And now we pray, God, you'll help us to understand it. God, help us to understand the words of God. And God, I pray that you will apply them to the hearts of your people here today. And thank you for the privilege to say something from the Word of God. And thank you, God, for people who will come and listen. And I thank you for each one. Thank you for our guest. Help us now to be a blessing to one another. May these words be a help and a blessing to us. And I pray the Spirit of God would help me to preach this morning. I thank you for it. And in thy name we pray. Amen. You are the temple of God. We're talking about your temple. Your temple in the Bible, that's talking about your body. We're talking about the body. God has given you a body. Our Lord Jesus Christ came and he bore our sins, died on the cross for our sins. Your sins were committed in your body. And Jesus Christ used his body to bear our sins. His body was sinless, but our body is not. Our body is a body of sin. But Jesus Christ's body was sinless. He never sinned. If Jesus was a sinner, then he wouldn't be any better than we are. He would have to die on the cross for his own sins. But on the cross, Jesus Christ was a sinless man dying for sinful people. And thank God for it. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. His own body. On the cross, God took your sins. He took my sins. He put them on Jesus, and Jesus Christ suffered a substitutionary death on the cross in our place, in my place. He died for me. He bore my sins. I wasn't born yet, but 2,000 years ago, God took my sins and put them on him. Jesus Christ had a sinless body. There was no sin in him. And then that sinless body with our sins on it was put in a tomb. And 3 days and three nights later, he was raised from the dead. Thank God. Jesus Christ is alive. If he were not alive, then you know, we might as well just close up the doors. But Jesus Christ is alive. That's what makes Christianity different from all other religions, is that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is alive. The Bible says he was alive then when he was raised from the dead. He's alive today up in heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And the Bible says that he will be alive forevermore. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's up there. He's making intercession for me. He is praying for me. He's praying for you. You see, I always tell you every time I come across that I keep him busy all the time. If he's going to intercede for me, then, you know, that takes a lot of work right there just for me. He is my advocate. He stands in my place up there. You see, whenever I do something wrong, he says that he died for me. One day, I gave out a piece of paper in Sunday school there about a man that led me to the Lord. His name was Brother Mayfield. 47 years ago, Brother Mayfield came to my house. I had never met him before, but my wife went to church by herself to the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Lubbock, Texas. And she went to church by herself, and I was 24 years old. And she went to church by herself. I don't remember if it was once or twice, but anyway, on Sunday afternoon, they came to my house, and Brother Mayfield told me about Jesus Christ. He told me the story of the prodigal son, which I'm very familiar with, and I hope that you are too. But anyway, he asked me if I wanted to be saved, if I wanted to accept this Christ that he was telling me about. I prayed silently to myself. I said, Lord, now don't you let this guy leave, because I was afraid he'd leave before without asking me, because I told him I want to be saved now. And of course, he asked me, and he had the courage and the intestinal fortitude to ask me if I wanted to be saved, and I said yes, and I got saved there, you see. So Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body so we could have eternal life. Eternal life is in a person. It's not in a church. It's not in a denomination. It's not in religious activities that you can do, you know, like a baptism or sacraments or it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It's not in anything other than a person. You've got to have Jesus Christ as your Savior, your own personal Savior. You've got to know Him, Jesus Christ, you see. You can be saved without being baptized. Now, you ought to be baptized. You can be saved without a lot of things. Everything has its place. But, brother, salvation is only in a man. It's in a person, Jesus Christ, who bore your sins in His own body. He paid the price in full. I'm talking about all of your sins. I'm talking about past and present and future, because when he died back there, all of your sins were yet present. I mean, they were all yet future. They were all yet future. See, he died all for all of your sins. A lot of people, they think, well, they get saved and Jesus died for the sins up until the day they got saved, and then after that, they got to take care of them. Well, if you got to take care of the sins after you get saved, then you're in big trouble, folks. You're in big trouble, because you don't even know what they are, and you wouldn't even remember them all. He died for all of your sins, past, present, and future. Amen. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, a cross made from a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. We're supposed to live a righteous life after we get saved. You don't get saved by living a righteous life, but because you are saved, then you should work for the Lord. You should do good works for Him. He is worthy of our service. He is worthy that we should present ourselves to Him. He is worthy that I should give Him my hands and my feet and my tongue and my eyes and my voice. He is worthy because of the sacrifice that He made on the cross. And He wants you to come and live with Him forever, see. And we don't deserve that. We don't deserve a bit of it. So I'm talking to you this morning about your body being the temple of God. A lot of people think that God dwells in buildings. Build a big, nice temple and God dwells there. No, He doesn't live in temples. He doesn't live in buildings. You know where He lives? Your body is the temple of God. If you're saved this morning, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're not saved, your body is the temple of the unholy spirit. You see, your body, this thing right here, He does not live in religious buildings, no matter what they are. I'm going to turn back to the left. I hope you got your Bible, and I hope you're ready to look up some things. I hope you can. It'll help you to become familiar with the Bible. I'm turning back to Acts chapter number 17, I'm closer to 7. Acts chapter number 7 and verse number Acts chapter number 7 and verse number I made a mess of my notes there. Acts chapter number 7. I think it must be verse number 4. Let me look. No, it's 48. Maybe it's 48. Acts chapter number 7, verse number 48. Acts chapter number 7, verse number 48, it says this, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet," let's read verse number 49, "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, and what is the place of my rest?" You see, so he said there, he said, "The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands." It doesn't matter how nice they are, how big they are, how expensive they are. Turn on over to the right from the book of Acts there to Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 24. Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 24. Acts chapter 17 verse 24. I believe this is Paul preaching here. Acts 17, 24, he says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." So you see, God Almighty, the Spirit of the living God, does not live in buildings. But the Bible says, our text says, "Ye are the temple of God." Ye are the temple. Ye are the temple of the living God. In the Old Testament, there are some buildings where God would meet with his people. First, there's the tabernacle. It was like a tent. A tabernacle of the children of Israel in the wilderness. There's a tabernacle in the wilderness. And then there's the temple at Jerusalem. And this is where the Jews worshiped God by bringing sacrifices. Our sacrifice is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our sacrifice. He, as I said a while ago, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And then he presented himself on the cross to be our perfect sacrifice. In the Old Testament, there were animals, and God said, I will forgive your sins on the basis of animal blood until the perfect sacrifice comes, which is Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, the people's sins were forgiven, the Jews that had the law. Their sins were forgiven on the basis of animal blood. But that's all done away with because Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, the perfect sacrifice, and your blood is washed away in the blood of Jesus. Did not we sing this morning, Brother Butler led us in page 19, "There is a fountain filled with blood." The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let's go back over to 1 Corinthians now, chapter number 3, and let me read you some of the verses that go up to our text there. Let me read you some of the verses that go up to our text there. I have to read fast so I don't run out of time. But here's Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and he's going to tell us about the judgment seat of Christ that leads up to us presenting or talking about our body being the temple of God. In verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder," Paul speaking, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." Verse number 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." What he's saying there, that through my preaching and my teaching and God giving me the gospel to give to you, I spoke the word of God to you and I laid the foundation. And the foundation is Jesus Christ. Now notice verse number 12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation," so you're supposed to live, build your life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. You get saved and then you're ready to build your life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Verse number 12, "Now if any man build upon this foundation," he's going to give us some different things that a person can build on the foundation. First is gold, silver, precious stones. Those are things that will go through the fire. Then he says wood, hay, and stubble. Those are things that will burn up. Verse number 13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." Let's stop for just a minute. One of these days, if you're saved here this morning, every one of us who are saved will have to stand before Jesus Christ and we'll have to give an account to him for the way that we lived our life as a Christian. It's not for who's saved and who's lost. That's determined here. But he will give you rewards based upon what you have done, or you will lose rewards based upon what you have done here from the time you were saved, you see. That's a judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us will have to go through it. To me, I don't know about you, but it's a scary thing to me. It's a scary thing to me. The standing before Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, whose eyes are as a flame of fire. And he says to me, "Why did you do this and did you do that? Why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that? You know, why weren't you more diligent over here? And why did you do these kinds of things over here?" See, he's got it all down. He knows what we did. See, so he says in verse number 13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest." It'll be all brought out. in the open, for the day shall declare it. That'd be the day of the judgment, a seed of Christ, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. God will put your works there on the foundation, and he will blow upon those works. And those things that pass through the fire, then you'll get a reward for it. Those things that are burned up, you just lost your rewards for those. They weren't done for the right reason, or they were the wrong things, or something like that, you see. And so it behooves every single one of us. God has given me the task in all of us to warn people about what's coming, that we're going to have to meet the Lord and we're going to have to stand before him, see. And so therefore we ought to be diligent in our service to him, see. So he says in verse number 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward, see. If any man's work shall be burned, then he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. See, so your works either abide or they're burned, one or the other, and you receive a reward according to it. If they're burned up, you lost a reward. If they abide, then you get a reward for it. Verse number 16 is what we're trying to talk about this morning. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? See, we are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let me just go on here and let me make a few observations I'm still by way of introduction here, some observations. Number one is this, that your body is the temple of God, and that means God made your body. God made your body. You are not a product of evolution, but you are a product of the creative power of God. God made your body. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter number 19, and Matthew chapter number 19, be verse number 4 and 5. Matthew chapter number 19, and verse number 4 and 5, and here's what Jesus Christ himself said. By the way, Jesus Christ was a creationist. Jesus was a creationist. He was an evolutionist. Alright, he says in Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 4 and 5, he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain, or they two, they shall be one flesh. So he says there in verse number 4, that in the beginning, at the beginning, that'd be back there in Genesis chapter number 1 and 2, God made them male and female. He did not make anything in between. He didn't make anything in between. You know, whenever a child is born, you can look at the child, you can tell what it is. You see, there's ways you can tell what it is. There's none of this business of transgender and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff, just a bunch of perverted stuff. And so he said in verse number 5, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. So God made the man and the woman to be married, so that he can continue the human race. So he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife. Whenever you get married, you're supposed to cleave to your wife. You leave off all the others. You leave off the going out with the boys, and you leave off all that kind of stuff, and you just cleave to your wife. That means you stay glued to your wife. You don't need a night out with the boys. You need a night out with your wife. You see, that's what you're supposed to do. Supposed to stay with your wife. You cleave to your wife for the rest of your life. See, my wife and I have been married 52 years here in a few weeks. And so supposed to cleave to your wife. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Not ready to leave your father and mother? Then you're not ready to get married yet, see. Leave your father and mother. You always honor your father and mother, but you cleave to your wife. See, that's your wife. You're supposed to put her first. You put her first. And so you find you all you young men, young ladies, find you the right man that you want to marry, find the right girl that's pretty and handsome to you and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you get married and raise a family. That's the way God wanted it to be, see. Now, sometimes there are places, people that God didn't mean to get married. There are those cases. But normally, this is the cause right here. This is the case right here. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. See, I could talk to you a long time about all this stuff that's going on in our world. You see, about different ones getting married, women married women and men married, all that stuff is just a bunch of perverted stuff. That's all it is. It's not right, never has been right, never will be right. You can't change. You know, when somebody's born, they're born a man, they're born a woman, and that's the way it is, you see. And God meant for it to be that way. The rest of it's just a bunch of perversion. I'm sorry to say that it's that way. I'm sorry that a couple of years ago, the Supreme Court of the United States threw out the Bible and said that now then two men or two women can get married. See, when marriage had been a man and a woman for 6,000 years, I'm sorry that that happened. But anyway, let's go on. We're talking about the fact that God made our body. It says the same thing in Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 6 and 7. See, God made them male and female, nothing in between. Number 2, your body is the temple of God. That means God made your body. And number 2, God made you in His own image. God made you like Himself. He made you a body, a soul, and a spirit. Turn in your Bibles, please. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7. Here's where God made the man, and then He took the woman from the man. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. I could quote it for you, but I want you to look at it. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7, it says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Now, doesn't that make you feel important there? We're all just made out of dirt. He says there, "The Lord God formed." See, God stopped a minute. And He took some dust, the dust of the ground, and He formed it. He took His hands and He formed a man out of that. "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Now, that's his body right there. God took the dust of the ground and He formed a man. He made him a body. He made him a body, see. I'm sure he was a nice-looking fellow. Verse number 7, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." And number 2, it says, "He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." See, the man wasn't alive yet, but He formed the man, and then He breathed His life into him. The very life of God went into that man. Did you know that the breath that you're breathing right now, that is the life of God? That's that same breath that God breathed into Adam way back there 6,000 years ago. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Your breath is, you see, that's part of you. If God takes your breath away, then we're gone, see. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the third thing he says, "And man became a living soul." There was a soul formed inside of that man. Three parts. He made him a body, a soul, and a spirit, you see. Because that's what God is. God has a body. His body is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the body of God. He has a soul. The soul is God the Father. He's a spirit. God is a spirit. And the Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse number 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So God made us like Himself. He made us a body, He made us a soul, and He made us a spirit, you see. So God made your body, and He made it like Himself. And whenever you get saved, let me tell you what happens to you whenever you get saved. Here's what happens. When you get saved, well, the reason you have to be saved is another story, but it's found back there in Genesis chapter number 3, where Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they were separated from God. Their spirit within them died, and from that moment on, everyone had to be saved or born again. You see, that's why you have to be born again, is because back there, Adam and Eve, they were separated from God. See, their spirit died within them. And from that moment on, their spirit is dead. And so whenever Jesus came along and He made it so that our spirit could be made alive. So here's what happens whenever you get saved. Whenever you get saved, your soul is saved inside of you. You have a soul inside of you, and it's in the shape of your body, your outward body. But it's an inner body. It's a body just like you have on the outside, but you can't see it. It's inside. It's like an inner tube in a tire. It has hands. It can feel. It can speak. It can feel pain, all that kind of stuff. It can remember. So you have a soul inside of you. Inside of that, you have a spirit. So you're a body. You have a soul on the inside. And then inside of that, you got a spirit. Whenever you get saved, your soul is saved. So it, whenever you die and your soul leaves your body, so it doesn't go down to hell. You see that? That's what happened to you. Whenever you get saved, your soul gets saved. But then the other thing that happens whenever you get saved is that your spirit is made alive and it's joined to God. It's joined to Jesus Christ, you see. It's joined to Jesus Christ. Look up a scripture with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17. I'm not going to turn over. I'll let y'all look it up. Look it up, would you please? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 6, 17, here's what it says. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Am I right? Is that what it said? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Whenever you get saved, God joins your spirit to Jesus Christ. And you're part of Him and He's part of you. That is eternal security and you can't get out of it. You can't get out of it because you're joined to Jesus Christ. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. Until the day that Jesus Christ comes, you are sealed and you can't lose it. You can't get out of it. There are things that happen to you when you get saved that you can't lose it. That's just one of them. There are others. So I'm just giving you some introductory remarks here. Number one is that your body, God made your body. And number two, He made you in His own image. If you're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and we just read verse number 16. Let's go on reading. I hope you're still there. Look at verse number 17. I may have given you the wrong scripture. Let me back up and read verse 16. 1 Corinthians 6, 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? Now, folks, I don't want to go into this, but he's talking about a physical joining there. And so just look at it. For two saith he shall be one flesh. Verse number 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. See, there's a physical. Verse 16 is a physical joint. Verse 17 is a spiritual joining. When you get saved, you're joined to the Lord. Verse number 18. You better listen. All of us better listen to this. And people outside these doors ought to listen to this. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse number 19. What? Here's what we're talking about this morning. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See? So whenever you get saved, number one, your soul gets saved. Number two, your spirit is born again, regenerated, and joined to Jesus Christ. But what about your body? What happened to it? Not a thing, folks. Not a thing. It's still the same. It's still the same old body that you had when you got saved. You're going to have to put up with it until you die or till Jesus comes. One or the other. Until you die or until Jesus comes, you're going to have to put up with it. Nothing happened to it. But here's the thing. Jesus has paid for it. But He just hasn't come back to get it. One of these days He'll come back and get it, you see. But you got to put up with what you got. I'm going to give you some practical things from these texts here. I hope they'll help you. Number one, your temple is indwelt by the Spirit of God. That's an awesome thing to me, to know that the Spirit of God dwells inside of your body. But you can't see Him. You can't even feel it. You see, the Bible tells us that is a mystery, that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. It's a mystery. I've got several scriptures, but I think I'll just give you one of them. And if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14, and look at verse number 16 and 17. John 14, verse 16 and 17. Here's our Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you for how long? Forever. Verse number 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See? All right? So the first thing that we need to know is that the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. It's an amazing thing. You cannot see Him. You cannot feel Him. But He is there. He is there. I must go on and go ahead and give you the second point so I won't run out of time. I'm going to go back over here to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 so I can read for you the points that I'm bringing out here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And let me see. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? And my point was that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. The second thing I want to bring out from this is this. Listen carefully. Your body, your temple, number 2, is holy. It is holy. Look at verse number 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. The temple of God is holy. It is holy because, number 1, God made it, and number 2, God is in it. Turn in your Bibles, please. Your body is holy. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 4 and 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 4 and 5. I'm sorry, 3. 3, 4, and 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Verse number 4, "that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel," your vessel, that's your body, "in sanctification and honor, not in the lusts of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." See, the Gentiles, that's talking about the unsaved world. We're supposed to be different from them. So listen carefully. The Bible says your body is holy, even though, I need to go back and, everybody listen carefully, I need to go back and tell you something about the Spirit of God dwelling in your body. Listen carefully. The Spirit of God doesn't touch your body. The Spirit of God is joined to your spirit inside of your body, but it doesn't touch your actual flesh. There's a reason for that, but we'll talk about that later. So in other words, so your body is holy because the Spirit of God is in it and because He made it. And so therefore, we should use our body for His service as Christians. I wanted to point out one thing here, and I want to try to be as nice as I can. I'm not trying to offend anybody, so I know that'll perk everybody's ears up. I'm not trying to offend anybody or anything like that, but I just want to give you the information and tell you what the Bible says. Turn your Bibles, please, over to Leviticus chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. And I want you to look at verse number 28. This right here would apply to what is called tattoos. Tattoos. I'm not trying to offend anybody, and if you already got tattoos, doesn't matter to me one way or the other. Doesn't matter to me one thing. It doesn't have anything to do with salvation. But I just want you to know that the Bible says you shouldn't do those kinds of things, okay? Please, don't use your body for those kinds of things. Do not. I mean, you're going to do what you're going to do. I'm just a preacher telling you what the Bible says. But it says in Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 28, here's what it says. It says, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." All right? So you see that? That would have to do with tattoos. You shouldn't go to a place where some guy's going to stand over you and take a machine and put some ink in your flesh. You shouldn't. That's not. Please don't do that to your body. If you already done it, I'm not even talking. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. You can't change it unless you're going to go spend a lot of money and change or anything, but all you young people and things like that. See, that looks to me like it's a big thing today. Big thing today. See, don't do that to your body. Your body is the temple of God. If you're saved this morning, if you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. It has absolutely nothing to do with anybody's salvation. But once you get those things on you, you know, that I guess it'd be hard to get off. I guess, I don't know if you can do it or not, to get them off or not. But see, don't use your body for those kinds of things. God wants to use your body. He wants to use your body for His service, see. He wants to use your body for His service. If you don't want to, do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want. And you see, God, He's not going to come down and stop you. But I tell you what He'll do. He'll let you reap the consequences if that's what anybody wants to do, you see. And so you can just do whatever you can do whatever you want to. Let me tell you something else. All this stuff is coming down. Those marks that put on their people put on their body, it's all coming down to the mark of the beast. The devil is getting our society ready for marks on them. The mark of the beast, 666. I mean, just one more mark, what's that? And people will take it, see. You see that? Amen. So your body is holy and you ought not to use it for the wrong kinds of things. Number three, I've already talked about it. Your body is, your temple is useful, and so we should not defile it. I hope you'll turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. All right, it says Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Here's what Paul says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, look what he says, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's go on. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. See, folks, if you're saved this morning, if you're a Christian, God has instructions for you to not be conformed to this world. This world does not like God. This world does not like Jesus Christ. Why would someone who's a Christian, you know, pal around with the world, the fashions of the world, the speech of the world, and all that kind of stuff? Why you want to do that? Why you want to do that? God gave you a body. God gave you a body to serve Him with. He died on the cross for your sins. Why would you not want to present your body to Him and say, God, here I am, use me? See? Verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, see, your body is, your temple is useful, and so don't defile it. Don't defile it. Back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 17, he says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Don't defile your temple, you see. You're supposed to yield it unto God. Don't defile your temple with alcohol or cigarettes and drugs and fornication and all kinds of whatever, everything you want to name. Look, however you yield yourself, whatever and to whomever you yield yourself, that will control you. To whom and to what you yield your body, you have the choice. You have the power to yield your body to whatever you want, and that will control you. I'll show you. Turn back to the left to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6, look at verse number 12. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 12 says, Romans 6, 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. All right, your mortal body, that's what we're talking about. Verse number 13, neither yield ye your members. Your members, that's your hands and your eyes and your tongue and all of the members of your body. He said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. You see, you can do things with your body that is wrong, that is sin. You can put alcohol and liquor in your hands and drink it, you see. That's what he's talking about here. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You're supposed to yield your body to God and let Him use it. Verse number 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Verse number 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So we are not to defile our body, but we should yield it unto God. And the last point is this, that your body is not only, your body is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, your body is holy, and your body is useful, so don't defile it. And number four, your temple, your body is temporary. It's temporary. It's just here for a time until Jesus comes. Bible says in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse number 14, it says, whereas you know not what should be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. I'll show you one last scripture. If you'll turn your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 21. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 21. Philippians 3:21, it says this. I'll read 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. That's our body right there. It's called a vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's saved people. Let me tell you something. Look up here. If a person is not saved and they die and go to hell, their body will become like their father, like the devil. It's like a worm. That's what's going to happen in hell. You don't want to go there. But if you're saved, your body's going to become like your father, Jesus Christ, fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. You ought to listen to this. You might learn something. Your temple. He says in the Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 21, who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Look, Jesus Christ, our Lord, he is worthy of our service. He is worthy that we should present our body to him for his service. He gave his body to suffering and death on the cross for us. So therefore, we ought to yield ourselves unto him. How is it with you today? What do you use your body for? Do you use your body for his service? Do you understand that it's holy and that it should not be defiled? He wants to use us if you'll let him. But see, it's all up to you. It's up to us. We have the choice. And so I hope that you'll do that. If you're not saved this morning, God wants you to be saved. Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, and he wants to give you eternal life as the free gift of God. Let's bow our heads, please, for just a moment.